everybody, welcome to Friday's edition of the Real Kipper at Noon. Nick Kyprios here. It's been a terrific week so far, hasn't it? Little Doug McClain sprinkled in on Monday and Wednesday. Between that, how about Darren Pang and Jeremy Roenick as guests of the Real Kipper at Noon show? And yes, Doug McClain is back. We're going to have to put a big bow on what's going on throughout this week. It's going to be a terrific weekend as well. Great storylines. First and foremost, let's reach out to Claude Julien and wish him the best of luck. We know Wednesday he had some chest issues, was taken to the hospital, had stent surgery, and is heading back to Montreal to recover. He will be lost for the remainder of the series against Philadelphia. We wish him the best of luck in his recovery. So much more to look into. Last night's action going into today. I'm not even going to waste any time here. Let's bring him in. James Douglas McClain from Summerside, PEI. Doug, if there's one guy that can relate to maybe the stress on a coach, a general manager, a president, Claude Julien, what he's feeling right now is maybe you.
Well, you know, you're the head coach of the Montreal Canadiens. That's stress at a whole nother level. But, you know, obviously we don't know the medical issues. You just hate to hear that about a guy that's like, that is a good guy like Claude is, and popular with his players, a Stanley Cup winner, quality person. You don't like to hear that. So I'll obviously wish him the best, speedy recovery. And, you know, the team's in good hands with Kirk Muller and company. But again, wish him really the best of luck to his health, number one.
Our guys, when they tee up the show and they put up, you know, one of those boards that kind of tees up our show, there's a little kind of saying on the bottom. And today they had, doesn't feel like playoff hockey. And I'm like, did I say that? Where's that coming from? And it's like, no. Tuukka Rask said it doesn't feel like playoff hockey. Now, if we ask Claude Julien and probably the stress that he's felt over the last little while, he would disagree with Tuukka Rask here. Why would you say that publicly, that it doesn't feel like playoff hockey and it feels like an exhibition game? Why would he go there?
I can say that it doesn't seem like playoff hockey. But when you just lost with a minute left in the damn game to the Carolina Hurricanes, on a blast by Hamilton, you just lost the game and you're at a podium and you're saying, well, it doesn't seem like playoff hockey. You know, it's no fans, it's beer league. I mean, come on. He didn't say beer league, but he might as well have. I mean, this is unbelievable. This is your goaltender talking like this, that, you know, it's hard to get up for it. I'm thinking, are you kidding me? But anyway, that's Tuukka. He's a pretty relaxed guy. He's trying to get into it, he said. He better get into it. It's tied 1-1, the series.
Well, do you want to stay there? Let's stay with Boston and Columbus, because in many ways, best of seven certainly gives you a wider range than what we saw in the qualifying series at a 3-5. But saying that, Columbus was almost in a much must-win situation here. They could not go down the path, I think, of 2-0, and then we look at Tuukka Rask and his series with Carolina. They couldn't go down 2-0 either. And all of a sudden now we've got some series out there. Where do you want to start?
I think you start with Columbus, Tampa Bay, and you say, whoa, I mean, this is a series that Tampa Bay cannot lose. We talked about the pressure on John Cooper coming into this series. It is over the top on the Tampa Bay Lightning. This is a team, I looked at their roster yesterday, Nick, the number of guys that they have on no trades, no movement clauses is over the top. So this is their group. This is their group that they have to win with. And I'm telling you, I watched the game last night. Yeah, I know Korpisalo stood on his head. I get that Korpisalo made some great saves and was really good. But you know what? I look down the middle at the way Dubois played offensively with a couple of assists, a couple of great assists where he hit Murray in the slot, and another second great assist to Bjorkstrand on the power play. And then you say Point, Johnson, Cirella. Down the middle, it doesn't match up very good. Wow. And then you throw in Jones, Werenski. So I'm telling you what, there's a ton of pressure on this Tampa Bay team to beat the Blue Jackets. And right now, they're to lose that game like the way they did last night doesn't look good. Shattenkirk gets beat on a one-on-one by Wennberg. I mean, when's the last time Wennberg scored a goal?
That was so feeble of an attempt of Shattenkirk. There's no sense of playing your ass off for 60 minutes if a guy's going to allow somebody to go through the middle of the ice like a hot knife through butter, because that's what it looked like.
And look, you're looking at, you know, Hedman, McDonough, you know, Zergachev. Shattenkirk's got to give them that, even though he's playing in the 5-6 hole. He's got to give them some serious minutes here, because Hedman's taken up a ton of minutes. McDonough's eaten up a ton of minutes. But Shattenkirk is a guy that's got to give them a chance there to fill in. So, right now, I mean, I didn't for a minute feel like Tampa started that game off 8-0, the shots are. They could have had a couple of goals. Korpisalo is really good. He's one of the best goalies in the NHL right now. And, you've got to get some serious traffic at this guy, and they're not doing it right now.
So you watch now that blue line on Tampa Bay, and you watch the one on Columbus, and you kind of assume that that Hedman and McDonough are the equivalent to maybe Jones and Werenski, right? And then Shattenkirk should be your third guy. He really should, based on experience, based on salary. He should be the third guy. And then you watch Wennberg go right by him. And then on the other side, and I still don't think that this guy gets his just due, is David Savard. David Savard blocked a dozen quality chances in game one in the five overtimes. And then last night, four more, led the whole game in block shots, and is a horse, Mac, a horse. The guy's got some good lateral movement. He's not scared to jump up. He's not scared to take it to the net. I mean, these are three of maybe the best out there right now. And I don't know if Tampa Bay can compete against those three.
And then the other kid, the Russian kid that's playing with Savard, is no slouch either. I mean, Garionov, he has been exceptional. I remember Don Boyd when he drafted Savard. It was just after I left Columbus, but my staff, Don Boyd, an amateur, drafted Savard. And I remember him talking about him at that particular draft, that they had a later pick that has really had a great career. He's one of the key leaders in this dressing room. He's one of the key leaders in this team. And you don't find a game all season where this guy doesn't compete at the utmost. So Savard has been a really, really valuable guy for them. There's no doubt about that. And I know you got the big guys logging the 28 minutes in Jones.
Just 28, Mac.
Right. He had a soft night.
Soft night.
But anyway,
night at
their blue line. Their blue line right now is like, I look at Tampa Bay down the middle and I say, just a minute. I mean, I know Point is a heck of a player. I know he's a heck of a player at center. Cirella, Johnson, whoever plays at center on their next line is, but the size is missing. And then you go to Gord down the middle. Then you look and you go Jenner, who's 210 pounds. You look at Dubois, who's a big horse down the middle. When you look at the goaltending matchup is even, you look at the center ice and you say, "Woo, Columbus is big. Big and strong and making plays." You love Tampa's talent down the middle. You love it. And then you go Smith or Jones, Werenski, and you go Hedman. This should be an unbelievable matchup all the way around. And whoever comes out on top of the names we just talked about, I see Foligno make a big play last night on a goal. Foodie makes a big play on a goal. Dubois makes a couple of big plays. They're not a scoring team, yet they're making plays at key times. What about Ryan Murray comes through the slot for a tap-in goal on a great pass by Dubois? I mean, they're getting great plays. So Tampa's got to pick it up.
And the game is played in the middle of the ice. And you mentioned it, center, your two defense, and the most important piece, the guy in net. And we're watching Korpisalo continue with historic numbers. Remember how we used to marvel at Marc-Andre Fleury in Vegas's run where he had a save percentage of what, 955, and now this guy's 960 plus. And I'm just sitting there going, okay, Bobrovsky at 10 million bucks or this guy for the next 2 years, Mac, for the next 2 years, he's at $2.8 million. Now, I don't know who his agent is, and I'm not blaming him because the player has to sign it. The buck stops with the player on signing contracts, and ultimately it's his decision, and I totally respect that. But oh my God, did this guy leave some serious money on the table here, being locked up for two more years at $2.8 million if we think that he can continue this.
Not only at that, he's at $2.8 million. He's on a mission here because Elvis Merzlikens is almost four, I believe. And he's got 2 years left. So
well, he just signed. Yeah, they're both signed at two more years. Right, so they're locked in.
Merzlikens signs after Corposalo, and he's 1.5 times more money than Corposalo. Corposalo's the starter. We know Merzlikens had to come in, but Corposalo's the starter. You don't think he's on a mission to say, hey, I'm the number one guy, albeit I left a lot of money on the table.
How about Yarmo, their general manager? Would he be kind of excited knowing that he only has to spend $6 million in the next 2 years between the two?
Big time. And then after that, it's going to be real interesting to see what shakes out. But look, they lose Bobrovsky at at 7 when he left there. Now he's at 10 in Florida. I mean, this is a huge break for them cap wise. And yet, you know, Corposalo, is there a better goalie in the NHL? Better goalie playing this well in the NHL? Price has been good, Hart's been good, Talbot's good. But I'm telling you what. 88 shots the other night.
Yeah.
39 shots last night. Okay. This guy is a stud.
All right. Well, let's just hope, you know, we saw the pictures of Pasta, David Pastrnak, limping off of a game one overtime win. So we assume that he's not sitting out because it just doesn't feel like playoff hockey. Right. So we'll see. We'll see if he can get back in there. But that, it didn't look promising. And he is, you know, not to take anything, they're all fantastic world-class players in Marchand and Bergeron, but this guy is special. And when he's out of the lineup, man, you know it.
Look, that was a monumental loss. We talk Line A, we talk Scheifele. This is the same category of a loss for this hockey team. It looks like there's a chance he could be back on Saturday. What is it, a noon game on Saturday? Yeah. A little bit of a problem there. But Cassidy sort of alluded to the fact that they're hopeful he'll be back.
They're hopeful.
But look, here's the problem. You go to their top six, and I don't like – I mean, you go the perfection line with Bergeron, Marchand, and Pastrnak. That's a good line. That's a great line. That's one of the best lines in the league. Then you go Krejci, DeBrusque, and you got Case in there, Cass or Case, whatever the hell his name is. And then you go Kuhlman in the first line last night. I don't like that top six. Then you go to Coyle. I mean, if Coyle, how big is Coyle? Can this guy throw a damn six body check?
Yeah, he's a big boy.
I mean, come on. Well, use your body.
Not his style. He's out there.
Mr.
Not his style.
Skill guy. Like, seriously. Yeah. I mean, anyway.
Yeah. And Kasha, then, by the way,
Kasha. I know. It's like, that's okay. Like what I just had for lunch.
Let's,
but anyway.
Okay,
you know,
let's. Are you there?
I'm here.
All right. Let's stay on monumental losses. Okay. We're going to go from the east to the west because you brought up the word monumental losses. Matthew Tkachuk getting sandwiched in the third period between Ben and Penny's brother, Jamie Oleksiak.
Alexius.
Okay.
I put down how to pronounce that.
Oleksiak.
Alexia.
I only know him as Penny's brother.
Alexia.
Our world, our medalist champion in swimming, Canada. Okay.
And Penny's those two brother. Big boys crunch Tkachuk.
Okay. So how many times, I lost count. How many times do we see Matthew Tkachuk leave the ice? Three?
Three times.
Four?
Three times.
And you know with this guy, it's legit.
He's not leaving unless he's really hurt and really hurting and banged up. Then he didn't play, what, the last 6-8 minutes of the game. I mean, they cannot afford to lose this guy. They cannot afford. He's too important. You know, the third line with the Bennett line with Lucic and Dubé have been getting a ton of credit, and they deserve it. But Tkachuk is still a horse for these guys. He's still an important guy.
I don't know,
for
Mac.
Guys.
I don't anticipate him coming back.
I know. That's
anytime
a scary
soon
situation.
Or the next game. He could barely stand up on his own when he left.
Yeah. Oh, and I know. I mean, it's devastating. This is a
that
this
was
could
a guy
be a tough
that had,
loss.
That, there was brain trauma there. I mean, I don't want to throw out concussion, but something was going on there. He's definitely being evaluated today. We hope he feels better, but to bring him back as early as game three, I think would be a mistake. And that's just from someone on the outside looking in who maybe got hit in the head a few times over my career.
A few too many. But you know what? The situation is, Nick, too, it's a back-to-back game. I mean, they're going at it again, in a few hours. And, I mean, how do you bring him back? But not only Tkachuk, you've got a goaltending question as well. Talbot has been so good. Talbot last night, okay. Still wasn't the reason they lost. But where do you go goaltending-wise in a back-to-back situation?
I expect a change. I really expect a change. And I think if you're the Calgary Flames, Talbot gave you everything you wanted to start these playoffs.
Yep.
But you also had to have a guy there that you've had some success with in the past and feel good with. This is where you need your 1 and 1A going here.
And again, Monahan, Goudreau, Lindholm, we've heard all about the Bennett line. We've talked about Tkachuk, the Monahan, Goudreau
line. I didn't hear
line.
Goudreau's name too often out there. What?
That's the point. It's got to be mentioned an awful lot more if they're going to have success. I mean, Dallas, full marks to them to come back last night, led by Corey Perry, led by Heiskanen. I mean, their key, Klenberg, was good. Bishop let in a stinker, but solid. Dallas is going to be a tough out.
What a pass on the game-winning goal to Penny's brother.
Unbelievable. Right? Unbelievable. Now, and Perry, look, what about Perry fights? Perry battles.
Yeah,
Perry,
he's still got some juice.
This guy, and I heard Kevin Bieksa mention last night, talk about a winner, and he listed off all the things that Perry has won in his career. He said that a winner, and there's still tremendous respect for Perry in that dressing room for what he still brings to the table. When he goes out and he fights Tkachuk, he's making big plays, he's battling, he's
Bonus
just
has got him still on the off post for his goal, an important one, a power play goal. Listen, he's still squeezing it. He still has some passion for the game, which a lot of people could sit there and say, you've been hurt. You've won your cup. You've got 50, 60 mil in the bank, but he's not going away quietly.
So if I told you Jamie O would score the winner, would score the winning goal after Calgary claw back and tie it, and then you give that up with 40 seconds left, and it's Jamie O scoring that goal. Who would have ever believed that?
And we know it would have probably been close to midnight for you, so he did you a huge favor getting to your bed early.
He did. No, it was closer to 2 a.m. for me.
I really thought... 2 a.m. Mac, you get that goal from Sam Bennett in a spot where he's filling in for Matthew Tkachuk, and you fought back a couple of goals to tie it up, and then you give up the game-winning goal like that. Like, how devastating would that be for a coach or a general manager to watch that? I thought Calgary, I sat back. I can't believe how easy they gave up the blue line on that goal, the way they just sagged and they just waited for something bad to happen. That to me is just a horrible sign. It's not so much losing the game as how you lost it. And you didn't fight hard in overtime, you know, like Carolina did earlier. And it's, come on, you can't lose that way,
and
Calgary.
You see And Brad Treliving, you saw him. They went to Brad Treliving right away in the press box, and you're thinking, oh, my God, Brad, what's he thinking when you give up that goal? I mean, it is disheartening after battling back. And it was a funny game. It was a couple of bad goals by goaltenders. It was, you know, it was just a funny game. I'm like Tuukka Rask. It didn't seem like playoff hockey to me, you know? It just seemed
Yeah. I thought Mark Giordano had a tough night too.
Tough night.
Couple penalties. You know, you just feel like he's still got the weight of the world on his shoulders to be that Norris guy. And at his age, sometimes it's not there.
And then you see Forbert score a big goal, which was a stinker from the blue line. But Forbert comes through for them. I mean, it was a big goal at the time, and fluky goal, seen eyes on it. But it was a funny game. But I still have Calgary winning this series, but I'm a little nervous now. Geez, I had a bad night again last night. I kick off the second round. I'm 4-0. Last night I struggled. Geez, this working for a betting site is getting hard in my head.
Well, they haven't completely hired you yet. Maybe you're on a PTO to handicap for blitzbet.eu. Now, exactly. please tell me you had Vegas, because Chicago almost pulled it off.
Yeah, I know. I had Vegas. I was really proud of the way Chicago battled, although they give up 39 shots on Crawford. Crawford can't, like, as much as we're Crawford fans, you cannot give that many shots up. I mean, this is a veteran goaltender hasn't played a whole lot. He's been injured a lot. And you're giving up 39 shots. And then I felt for Jonathan Toews. I mean, he's right there at the end of the game, and he lets his man go for the tap-in goal. I mean, just great plays by, you know, Marchessault's made some big plays. Riley Smith has made big plays. You know,
they still don't get the credit they deserve, and they could have easily asked for a lot more money than the $5 million that they got on long-term deals, because you appreciate Stastny and even Max Pacioretty, who did not dress. He's battling an injury that will probably see him in and out of the lineup, maybe. But they've been their heart and soul from the moment this franchise started.
Big time.
Matt Marchessault and Smith, and they keep delivering this time of year. And it's fun to watch. That Riley Smith is a heck of a player.
I remember us watching him in the Bruins series, Bruins Chicago series, a number of years ago. But talking to Gerard Gallant a couple of years ago, Gerard said he's the smartest player. Obviously, Gerard had him in Florida. Gerard was a big part of bringing him to Vegas with Marchessault, you know, from the Panthers. But he told me Riley Smith may be the smartest player he's ever coached, with hockey sense, on ice IQ, the whole package. And you know what? Riley Smith continues to get better. He continues to get better and be a more important player. So, you know, good on the Golden Knights.
The one thing that I would have been interested to see, if in fact Chicago would have won that game in overtime, would have been who Vegas starts for game three. And we talked about this earlier, that we're both surprised that Fleury didn't get the start. But behind the scenes, he's going wild right now. You know that. He is absolutely going wild right now. And they've got back-to-back games this weekend, Mac. Regardless of what happens, I think that he's expecting to start this weekend. And if he doesn't, it's going to start being a story. Mark my words.
You and I created a little buzz in Vegas the last couple of days. I noticed some commentary coming out of Vegas when we're saying loyalty, and all of a sudden they're saying, who cares about loyalty? We want the Stanley Cup, up, 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 up. Yeah, okay, I get it. And that, you know, I had heard it was a month ago they made this decision. So there was lots of mouthing off in Vegas.
Wow.
We like those people to mouth off. We like the positive vibes.
But
we like, you know. So look, it is really going to be interesting. Leonard last night was good. Was he great? I don't know if he was great, but you know what? It's going to be real fun.
We've been around pro hockey for a long time, and we've got K skill and character, but loyalty is still very important to a lot of us that have been around the game for 20 or 30 years, Mac. You know that. And if when it's not shown, people let you know.
Oh, and look, I've heard it from some people that, you know, really know what's going on there. And it's human nature. It's human nature to be disappointed in this situation. I just hope when Fleury gets his chance, yeah, he stands on his head. But look, you don't wish Leonard any bad luck.
The no, guy's, no. And, a good goaltender, and you do good, believe
it was a good move by Vegas to bring him in and, well, you know, go buy Subban. You know, they didn't think Subban could win.
But you know? Which is fair, which is all fair. But the picture that was painted a little bit was Leonard was going to be insurance. Leonard was supposed to be the guy that we want in instead of Subban when you, Marc-Andre Fleury, get hurt. That's the story. Right. That was the narrative. Mm-hmm. And then it goes away.
Totally. Yeah.
So that's the issue probably Marc-Andre Fleury has.
Does it come back to bite them? We shall see. They think they're good enough to win the Stanley Cup. You watch them play, you'd have a hard time disagreeing, yep, that they're not a Stanley Cup contender right now. They've got, you know, your boy Stone, another big performance,
yep,
big plays. This guy doesn't stop. You know, you like the way they're playing. So, you know,
okay,
does this hurt them? We'll see.
Let's go to Carolina real quick because we got to give them their just due. Hamilton's bomb for the game winner. Like, we've watched a lot of hockey, but that shot was right up there with a lot I've ever seen come from the point. Like, no wonder Tuukka Rask doesn't feel like it's playoff hockey because he's not making that playoff save.
That was a bomb. I mean, you saw him coming in, a good pass, and he just drilled it. I mean, Tuukka Rask had no chance whatsoever. You look at Hamilton, this guy, I mean, look, how many times have we heard this about Hamilton? Well, he didn't fit in Boston. They didn't like him in the room. They didn't. Then he goes to Calgary. Oh, he doesn't
same thing
fit in there. He
same thing. Not a good fit.
You know, he had to get him out of the room. He had to get him. And all of a sudden, Rob Brind'Amour, who's one of the heart and soul guys in the NHL throughout his playing career and coaching career, and he loves him, and he's playing him 26, 28 minutes a game. He's a horse for them, and he scores. I mean, this guy's a Norris Trophy candidate right now. So love him or hate him, like him in the room. I don't know about the room, but I sure as hell like him on the ice. And you know,
I've said this as a player. The room means jack shit if it doesn't transcend on the ice. Okay, all that matters is on the ice, and the room is like, it's important, and you could do the chicken or the egg theory here, but all that matters is if you show up. I could hate you. I could hate your lifestyle. I could tell you you drink too much, you party too much, or you don't party at all, or you should come out for beers with the boys after the game. I could sit there and pick you apart all day long. But if you show up on the ice, man, that's all that matters.
You know what? It's exactly true, and that's what he does. I don't know anything about the kid other than he had a 99.9% average in high school.
Which is that, what, 98 better than us?
Is that bad because he's smart? But all I know is he's a really good player. And I'll tell you what, though. I remember talking to a kid that was at Calgary's training camp, and he said that he went to their rookie camp, and he was talking, and he said, "Oh no, I'm having a good camp." But he said, "Oh my God, there's this kid here from Europe who is so good, it's scary. And he's the second round pick. And that's Aho." And yep, Aho and Svechnikov and Turvainen, how good are they again last night? What about the Chera Svechnikov little punches in the head after he ran McAvoy last night? How great was that? That Chera steps in, gives the kid a couple of shots.
Didn't bother the kid.
Didn't phase.
Loves it. No. In fact, it plays into his hands. He's so skilled, and he's tough.
So Svechnikov. I love Chera doing it to Svechnikov. I love the fact that he was sticking up for his teammate. But Svechnikov, his response was, OK, okay, I'm fine. I'm not going to affect me. And all he does is get a goal and assist, or, you know, just played a great game for them. And that line is so darn good right now. It's unbelievable. So this is going to be a tough out for the Bruins.
Well, you talked about Brind'Amour and the passion and the emotion, and sometimes it gets the best of him. And did you have him on a prop bet at Blitz Bet that he'd be the first coach fined for $25,000, or did you have Tortorella or Paul Maurice first?
I didn't have Tortorella because I knew he was already down 25 and there was another 25 pending. So I love Brind'Amour last night when he goes, I'm not talking about, don't you guys decide. You know, he was giving that to the referees, putting his arm out, fooling around with you guys.
He's 0-for-2 on coach's challenge, and twice it has not come back to bite him in the ass, which is a good thing. But I really think he should stop with the coach's challenges because he's not very good at them.
No, he's got to forget about it. Or either that or fire his video guy.
Oh, you know he's getting blamed.
Yeah.
You know he's getting blamed. Okay.
How about Neshkas? Is that, if that's how you pronounce him? They wanted to trade this guy. They desperately wanted to trade him, and he is right now playing great. So, you know, it's interesting how some of the best trades you make are the ones that fall through the cracks, you know, that you don't make. So, interesting.
Mac, this one's going 7. You know it's going 7.
Yeah, and I mean, hey, they got to get Pastrnak healthy. You know, Krug's got to be a little bit better. I mean, you know,
can that goaltending back and forth, is that going to be good enough to close out Boston?
Look,
Reimer, do you go back to Reimer again or
like, okay, Mrazek? Just a minute. If when I saw Reimer playing goal last night, I thought, okay, the series is 2-0. How many times has this guy stepped in Reimer and done this? And then what happens the next game? I just don't trust him. I'm sorry. He get full marks for last night. Mrazek, I'm still saying Tuukka Rask has got to be the difference in this series if they're going to win. He was last year, although it was 4 straight. He was the difference in every game.
He was great.
He's got to be better. And he wasn't the problem last night. He had no chance on those goals.
All right. Nick Kiprios here with Doug McLean. You're watching The Real Kipper at Noon live stream, a YouTube channel. You can download it on a podcast. Apple is available. Please, if you're enjoying it, you're here for the first time, subscribe. Show us that you want to be here all the time because we're here for you, teeing up all your games. Mac, I want to get into a conversation now because I don't think there's a better person to have this conversation than you with your experience, not just as a coach, but more importantly, as a general manager and a president. And I want to talk to you about press conferences and what you need to do.
And
bullshitting and, you know, making sure that you say things that you think maybe people want to hear or the media want to hear or help save your job or cover your ass, whatever the case is. We've watched some press conferences in the last few days and I want to get your take. I'll start first of all with the Montreal Canadiens, and we've got the Leafs, we've got Pittsburgh, we've got Nashville, we've got a few maybe to kind of get your thoughts on it, but I want to start with the Montreal Canadiens. And of course, off the top of the show, we talked about Claude Julien and his situation and wishing him the best. But I found it really interesting when Marc Bergevin, the general manager of the Montreal Canadiens, made his statement, his official statement to let us know about the status of Claude Julien and the fact that Kirk Muller, Dominic Ducharme, and Luke Richardson were taking over. But the one thing that he said when he was talking about Kirk Muller taking over was, and I'm quoting here, "We understand Kirk does not speak French, but there are exceptional circumstances and we are asking for your understanding." And I thought, I just thought to myself, okay, Mac, why is that important to say? And what does it matter if he doesn't speak French? And who are you asking for your understanding, because I don't think there's anything to understand. Either he's a good coach and you have faith in him, or he doesn't. But it tells me a lot about the pressure that they feel to have a French-Canadian coach, and how many great coaches there are out there that will have no shot of ever being a Montreal Canadian bench boss.
Well, it's like Brian Burke's all-time favorite line ever. I've heard it too many times, so I'm sort of sick of it, but he likes to use it once a week. That Montreal is the toughest place to coach because you're dumb in French and then you're dumb in English, because they really go at you in both papers. So, you know, a little props to Berkey there, but we are tired of the line. Come up with something new. You know, but anyway, it's the fact that he has to bring that up when you're in the middle of your playoffs and you're in tough, you're coming off a one goal lot, and you have to bring that up.
But why? And even if it's true, which we all believe it is now based on that statement alone.
Oh, well, we knew before.
But why, and again, excellent point by you. You don't make them often here on the show, but why would you draw attention to it now?
I don't get it. I mean, the Montreal Canadian fans are some of the best fans in the NHL, and all they want to do is win. If Kirk Muller's the coach through this round, and for the next round, and Claude's back next year, and they win the cup. Al McNeil won the Stanley Cup. We saw what happened to him in Montreal. He didn't speak very good French either, I guess, because that was back in like 1971. He got fired. After winning the cup, he got fired. So they are a little uptight about the whole French thing there. But you know what? Why even go there? Let's just talk about our staff are going to get this done. Our staff will do this. Luke Richardson, Kirk Muller, Ducharme. We're going to get it done as a staff. Forget the French stuff, but I mean, that's just how big it is.
Well, we'll see. We'll see if it's a rallying cry for the guys. And
does Carey Price speak French?
to a man, we know everybody's wishing Claude Julien the best of luck, but there are some guys that could maybe benefit, maybe with more ice time, or maybe Kirk Muller has a different feel for a guy like Max Domi. But there will be some guys in that lineup, you know, outside of, you know, the health issues, of course, that it's not necessarily a bad thing to see a guy behind the bench that might have a different feel for certain players. I mean, that's natural for a hockey player to feel. I've been through it.
You know, Max got up to over 14, close to 14 and a half minutes. He was actually higher than some guys in the third line. So maybe it's starting to turn a little for Max here. But you know what? Kirk Muller's been around long enough. I mean, Luke Richardson's been around long enough. Donald Ducharme's been around long enough. They're a quality staff. Sure, you don't have Claude there, who's a great coach, and he's been around a long time. But he's got a quality staff there with him that can do the job. The coaching, whether they can speak French or not, will not be the reason the Montreal Canadiens don't win this series. I guarantee you that.
We believe you. Thank you. Okay, so we cannot talk about press conferences without you getting your take on Kyle Dubas, who his back's a little bit against the wall here in terms of what happened. What happened to your $40 million nucleus in four forwards? And just your overall take of Kyle Dubas and handling the pressure for a guy hasn't been around very long.
But he's had a lot of experience at these type of press conferences, in fairness, in his 3-4 years there. If I hear Kyle Dubas one more time say, we would like it to be linear. We would like the process to be linear. In other words, we'd like it to be straight line to the top. But Kyle, do you need to use the word linear? Can you just say we'd like it to be a straight line? And then after you get the linear terminology, you've got to address the fact that your defense is not good. Your team defense is not good enough. And your defense is not good
Mac,
enough. And I'm sorry. You know, you can BS all you want, Kyle knows this. Brendan Shanahan knows this. They've got to make some changes. They've got to move some people from their core group and be able to bring in a couple of defensemen to be able to compete.
The best piece he had was Kadri. Okay? No question. How many teams wanted this guy? Calgary wanted him so badly, and he nixed it.
For 4 years.
Okay?
Yeah.
Now you move him for a guy like Tyson Barrie, who is a talented guy. But playoff guy? No. And it's just abundantly clear how much they value the skill above all else. And I just don't, for the life of me, understand why would you give up a piece like Kadri and focus it around a defenseman who's 1 year away from unrestricted free agency? And the talk with Barrie, of course, was he never got to the adjustment. I'm watching Kyle Dubas in his press conference talk about anything he learned off of that trade. And he says that, you know, he needs to help players like Barrie adjust a lot better so they can feel better about themselves. And I'm sitting there going, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Like the players today have never had it better in terms of organizations, general managers, dressing rooms, chefs. Like they have not been more coddled in the history of the game. And Kyle Dubas is talking about more. And I'm like, no, less. I get it. There's a cap. So you can't give them more money. So you know what you're going to do? You're going to make a bigger dressing room. You're going to make lounges. You're going to make a games room. You're going to make them love it all around you. And I think it came back to bite the whole organization in the ass. All of them.
Maybe let's make it a little more uncomfortable for them, maybe, is what they should do. So I think about Barrie when that trade happened, I thought, okay, why have I heard Tyson Barry's name mentioned for 3 years that he was available in Colorado? And I asked the Colorado people this a year ago, why is his name out there all the time that he is available? A guy that's supposed to be this talented and this good a player. The answer I got was, we like Tyson Barrie, but we really need a centerman. That's why his name's out there. If we got the right centerman, we would consider moving Tyson Barrie. I'm sorry, I'm not buying that as 100% the truth, but that's what I was told. So all of a sudden you move a guy, you've got a cap struggling situation before you make the Barrie deal. I mean, you've got to be able to forecast down the road as to how you're ever going to get him signed if he plays to his potential. So it was and Kerfoot to me, like, I'm sorry. I like Kerfoot, but I don't see him as a third line type of centerman. Yeah, I know he's a good little player. I know he's a good little penalty killer. He's just not my cup of tea for playoff time. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
So I didn't like the deal from day one. And I, you know what? And I watched Kadri. I mean, Kadri is a key guy. He's a key guy in Colorado.
You want to call Kerfoot little a third time? Or are you okay with just twice?
No, I mean, I like him. I'm not being critical. I'm just thinking like, but anyway.
No, you're being critical. He's little. And you can't play little men this time of year.
Things have to be more linear for the Leafs to do well. Like, seriously, Kyle. I like Kyle Dubas. I like him a lot. Knock off linear. Just talk in our lingo. We're not that bright.
How did you find Jimmy Rutherford's words of wisdom in his press conference? Did he use linear at all?
I found him to be 180 from the Leafs press conference, where I am not happy. I'm really pissed off at this group. Albeit Sid, other than Sid, is there anybody else?
Oh, you mentioned Malkin. We got the impression Malkin and Letang are okay.
Okay, but
which
I didn't see that they were okay in the series. I'm sorry. If they were okay, I missed something. I didn't think they were very good. But anyway, I had heard some rumblings that this dressing room was not in good shape. I had heard rumblings of that during the playoffs. At this dressing room, there was a lack of care in that room during this run, during now, this series. And I'm thinking, whoa, wow. I've never heard of that.
When you can't fire your coach, you go after the assistant coaches. Did you do that? Was that a card you ever played?
No, but you know what? It's one that's used now all the time. I can't fire the head coach, but I'm going to make you fire your assistants. I've seen that happen with a half a dozen teams. Mark Recchi was a bit of a surprise, and Gontcher, two superstars for this franchise. Jacques Martin's been there since 2014. Are you telling me the assistant coaches are the problem? No. You know what that is? That's a direct message to Sullivan that I need better coaching from you and the coaching staff. That's not nailing the assistants, although they lose their jobs. It's to Sullivan saying, we need you guys to be better. But now, it's a ploy they all use now.
There's some conspiracy theorists that say that Gonchar and Malkin are pretty tight, and that was an indirect message to Malkin.
Well, maybe, but it was a message. I mean, I imagine Mark Recchi's tight with quite a few players. So yeah. It just caught me off guard. It's happened so quick. I don't know if it's been Jimmy's style over the years. Jimmy doesn't mind firing coaches, yeah. But you know what? He's not happy, and he called his group out, and Jimmy doesn't mince words. He's been around long enough. He doesn't care. He doesn't worry about hurting anybody's feelings. He's the opposite to a couple other press conferences we saw. He doesn't mind hurting people's feelings. So if my feelings were hurt, I didn't mind hurting other people.
Yes, I've lived it. People at Sportsnet have lived it for last 10 years. How about David Poile? Why isn't he racing up to a president's role and relinquishing his duties?
It's going to be real interesting. There's a lot of conversation about what becomes of David Poile. He's been a lifer in the league. You know, he came in the league at 33 years of age. David's got to be, you know, close to 70 right now. He's been around a great career in Washington. Didn't win there, and that was always really bothered him, drove him crazy. He takes over Nashville, 1998? He's been there. I mean, yeah. He's ticked off too. But, you know, he's got to step back and say, whoa, look at Weber the way he's playing. Look at Subban running this podcast. Look at, Jones is a star. Johansson wasn't very good and hasn't been great and has been in and out. There's been some missteps along the way. Duchesne has not been what he wanted. Turris has not been what he wanted. So David has got to step back. And he said, David's called it. He said, we have to manage better. That means me and my staff. We have to coach a lot better. And we also need some player changes. So I thought he called it the way it was, David, you know. He did everything except resign, basically, or fire more people. But he's not happy either.
Okay. Couple of news and notes that we could kind of just have a discussion on. And again, to pull a line from my good friend Doug McLean, we're not going to tell you what's going to happen. What is it? Can you share that again with me? How do you say that?
No. It's the all-time favorite PEI line. I'm not telling you it's the truth. I'm just telling you what I heard.
Okay. So let's do that, because we talk to a lot of people, and a lot of people happen to know a lot of people in the hockey world, and there's scuttlebutt. Let's just call this scuttlebutt. Yeah. Okay?
Rumors.
So there is some talk that the New York Rangers will be willing to listen to their some offers for their first pick overall. And we know Lafreniere is a highly touted prospect, maybe the most complete player available since maybe even Connor McDavid, maybe. That's how good he is. There's no question he's going to be a frontline guy. But he's not a centerman, correct, Mac? He's a winger. That's the way people are looking at him today. So would the Rangers be willing to trade down for someone to come in and take a potential franchise player? And the team that kind of is scuttlebutted, is that a word, Mac? Did I just make that up?
No, it's close.
Is the Ottawa Senators. And we do know the Ottawa Senators are sitting at number 3. and number five position of the draft. Could you see the Rangers flipping the first pick overall for 3 and 5 and another player on the roster?
When I heard the scuttlebutt this morning, I quickly asked, would Ottawa trade Brady Tkachuk
for that? That seems pick? To be the name that the Rangers would be really interested in.
And I would be absolutely shocked if they would do that. I can't believe they would move Brady Tkachuk for Lafreniere. I can't believe it. I get the French-Canadian thing. I get all that, but Brady Tkachuk to me, would they trade a Shabbat? No, I can't believe they'd ever consider that. To me, those are two guys that would be untouchables on that team right now. But what do they do? Like, it is more intriguing than most years because of LA sitting at number two with a bunch of prospects and Ottawa sitting there with a 3 and 5 pick. Detroit don't have the assets, in my opinion, to be able to do it. So I really believe it's LA or Ottawa. JD would be putting this out there. Gordon would be putting it out there. When you have the first pick, you want to drum things up to try to get a little attention. Look, LA would like to see it happen. Ottawa would like to get the first pick. I just don't see a Brady Tkachuk being anywhere remotely there. Or I don't see Shabbat. So where do you go with this?
And again, Lafreniere is a winger. And if you look at the Rangers now and you see Panarin, you see Kreider, you see Capo, Bushnevich. Okay, they're okay. They're fine in their top six going down. But the middle, maybe they want to turn in. Maybe they're willing to move Lafreniere's pick for a Byfield, a Rossi, who's going to be a top five, top six pick.
I mean,
now it's starting to make a little bit more sense.
If the Rangers had Zibanejad and Brady Tkachuk down the middle, that is a Stanley Cup potential center ice with Kako and Panarin on the wings. That's potential Stanley Cup. You're moving into that territory. They don't have the big guy on the back end yet. They don't have that big horse that every Stanley Cup winner typically needs, is that horse on the back end. And we've seen it for 25 years in the NHL. Stanley Cup winners with that big guy or two big guys on the back end. But, I mean, it is an intriguing situation because it's not far-fetched.
Where are you getting this type of talk about the Rangers potentially moving this pick anywhere else but the Real Kipper at Noon show? Mac, tell them what button you want them to hit right now. Tell them.
I want you to pound the like button. Just pound it. Because everybody in my family is pounding it on multiple phones.
No, they're pounding red wine.
Bruce Hickey and Jimmy Clark, who work out of this office here, they have a pounding headache when I leave here because of me yelling and in this show. So they tell me I talk too loud on this show, but it's emotion, it's excitement, it's hockey talk, and I haven't done it in a year.
It's you losing your hearing. That's what generally happens.
Me losing my hearing. I have my hearing aids in.
The other one that I'm hearing, Mac, and I'm not telling you, and I don't want Buffalo to start calling me and saying I'm reporting anything, but there are some people in our inner circle that say Jack Eichel isn't happy and wouldn't mind exploring a move.
Have we not heard this since 2 weeks after he went there?
Yeah. Like,
come on.
What do you make of that?
Well, Kevin Adams does not – you don't wish that on your worst enemy. Kevin Adams gets the GM's job, and all of a sudden that's your number one thing.
You don't go from running the Junior Sabres program to making a trade for Jack Eichel that, do you?
No. He's not going
anywhere.
If I'm the Buffalo Sabres and Jack Eichel is asking me that he'd like to explore other options, I'm saying to my wife, I won't see you for the rest of the summer because I'm going to spend every waking minute with Jack Eichel. As Kyle Dubas is talking about, trying to make the guys feel more at home. We want the guys to be more comfortable. You know? We want them to feel good. You know, I remember when I was a coach, I used to love when I'd make guys cry in my office, you know?
You knew you were getting somewhere.
When
you knew
you
the team was bonding.
When you can make an NHLer cry in your office, it is really a fun... No, it was not good. I remember this. I'm talking to this veteran. He started crying, and I'm like,
Stop it.
In my office. And then it's okay. You know what I mean? It's okay.
Pat, you know what year it is? Do you have any idea what year it is?
Can't even yell at your kids anymore. You've got to make them feel more comfortable.
Sensitive.
I agree with Kyle.
Where is your sensitivity right now? Okay, take a player to a park. That's the key.
Kyle Dubas is the most sensitive general manager in the NHL when it comes to his players. And I applaud him for that.
No.
Be more sensitive. Make them comfortable. It used to be make them uncomfortable. Now it's make them comfortable.
Everybody that talks about Kyle Dubas says he's a very respectful guy.
I like him.
He's good to deal with the league, the issues. Perfect. He hasn't come in with preferential treatment during this hub. A lot of people saying good words about him, but he's going to have to make a good trade. Nylander, he's going to have to make a good trade for Nylander. That's all the bottom line is. Uncle Louie's a great guy, but doesn't mean he's general manager.
No, exactly.
In the NHL.
And Nylander's the guy, and maybe Kapanen, and there's a few of them there that he could muster up something to move. So anyway, that's okay. I love his sensitivity, and I really like him as a guy.
Speaking of Leaf fans, how happy are they for Kadri going to a team like the Avs that could contend for the Stanley Cup? 2 p.m. today, Mac, against the Coyotes. How do you see this thing playing out here, kind of quietly?
Yeah, I just see, look, it was a funny game, their last game, where they scored the three goals in like 2 minutes and blew them out. But full marks to the Coyotes. Are going to battle through this. I just don't see them being able to play with the Avs, with the firepower. Their top six is dynamic. They broke up their big line and they flipped them back and forth. I like that. I love their blue line, the way they transition. They have maybe the best transition game in the NHL. Hey, listen, Carolina and Colorado may have the two best transition neutral zone play of any team playing right now. So full marks to them, you know. So I see Colorado winning this.
You see Canadians pulling out an emotional win for Claude Julien, 3 p.m. Eastern, a few hours from now.
I don't see them pulling it out, but I'll tell you what, they're playing really well. Full marks. I mean, you see Weber tee it up on the point, then he drives for the rebound. I mean, they're hitting on a lot of cylinders right now. I'd love to see them win it. I think Philly's just Carter Hart, to me, has changed the Philadelphia Flyers. So, you know, I mean, he and Price are an unbelievable duo for a 22-year-old in Hart. And whatever Carey is, 34, 33, I don't know what he is, but what a battle that is. I just see Philly winning this series and winning today.
I don't think it's too early to call the Washington Capitals a must win here. If they lose to the Islanders, can they win four out of five?
Listen, I didn't like their game the other night. I mean, they jump up to a 2-0 start with Oshie with the first two, and then the Islanders storm back with some big plays. Holpe wasn't Holpe. I mean, he wasn't good. Carlson played. I don't like their blue line. You know, Orlov and Carlson we like, but then after that, you're sort of, whoa, what do we got here? I think I picked the Islanders to win this series, and I still believe that.
What'd you think of Andres Lee's hit on Backstrom? He's not expected to play in game two, and we assume that he's got some head issues.
Yeah, you know what? I love Andres Lee. I love what he brings to the table. He is a playoff type guy. I mean, he'll do whatever it takes. You don't talk about this guy very often, Nick. We don't talk about him, and yet
in general about the Islanders
guy. This is a guy that is a heart and soul guy. He's one of their go-to. He's not the flash, but he'll pay a price to do whatever it takes to win. I like him a ton.
And the Stars and Flames right back at it, 10:30.
Riddick goes in goal, obviously.
I gotta think so.
I would think so too. I mean, it's a back-to-back situation. The analytics people would have a heart attack if they don't, if they let a guy play a back-to-back in goal. And so and Riddick, you know, he hasn't played yet. Talbot's been a star for them. I can see them making that move. I think it's probably pretty obvious that Riddick goes.
Yeah, and Jim Neal too. I mean, I got to think Jim Neal's feeling the heat too. And you mentioned tree living up in the stands watching the game, but boy, it seems like they're real vulnerable right now, Dallas, and not just on the ice but off the ice too. You know, their ownership, and we do know that you know, Gilardi's family is heavily into the hospitality industry, hotels, restaurants. It just seems like it's a real trying time right now for this organization.
Jimmy Lights resigns as president. I mean, not many presidents resign. I mean, we'd like Trump to, but there's not many presidents. Have you ever heard of a president of an NHL team? Don't they just eventually go away? I don't know of any presidents of teams that resign. So I'm shocked that Jimmy Lights resigned to spend more time doing whatever. I don't know. So, yeah, I agree with you. There's some turmoil going on there. Rick Bonus, I'd love to see him win the series. Jimmy Neal, great guy. We'll see.
All right. That's a good hour. We packed it in again, and we hope you...
Started a lot of rumors. Started a lot of rumors today. Congratulations, Nick. You're great at starting rumors again.
Well, if you're liking what you're hearing, subscribe, hit the like button, do all the things that make Doug really happy here. So... What plans, RV? Are you taking the RV out this weekend?
No, Jill is actually heading to Ontario with the RV tomorrow. So I'm just laying around,
How come you're not
I'll
coming?
I'll tell you what. Because it's a family situation and I wasn't invited.
So they want to have a good time is what you're saying.
I hope so. But anyway, I'm staying home. But I did wash it this morning for her and gassed it up, and you know, it's ready to go. Two or four bottles of wine in there for her, just to, you know, for when she camps along the
way.
Yes, you know?
When she's stationary, right, and plugged in somewhere.
Exactly. So hopefully, it'll be a good trip.
Doug McLean, James Douglas McLean, a terrific finish to the week. Have a great weekend. You've been watching and listening to the Real Kipper at Noon show. We're right back at it Monday. Watch your games, get your fill, and then come right back to us. The Real Kipper at Noon show starts again Monday. Have a great weekend, everybody. Take care.